Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. How would you react if you had cancer? Now think about having it not once, not twice, but 5 times. Meet Donald Wilhelm. He's our latest guest on The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com. He's been going through cancer treatment for 10 years, is a 5-time survivor, and he's been able to keep up his positive mental attitude. Let's meet him right now. We're talking positive mental attitude and survivorship with 5-time cancer survivor Donald Wilhelm. Hi, Donald. How are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you, Mel?
Great.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes. I've known you for quite some time now.
Yes, it's great to talk to you again. I've been keeping an eye on what you're doing. You're doing some fantastic work.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
I'm 39 years old. I've had cancer 5 times in the last 10 years. So mostly, you know, people say on and off, mostly on, I guess, if you will. It's Hodgkin's lymphoma. And throughout my time of cancer, I've spent a lot of time building what I call an emotional bunker, and trying to learn how to help myself deal with cancer. It's a very shocking thing when you get cancer, a cancer diagnosis, and everything comes at you all at once. And,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, as a fellow cancer survivor, you tend to go numb. You just, everything comes at you. It's CAT scan, MRI, chest X-rays, blood tests. It's all at once, and people freak out, and they shut down emotionally.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And really what I've been trying to do is over the last 3 years, through my book, This Time's a Charm, really trying to help people understand that emotionally they have an impact on their healing. They have I'm not saying emotionally you can walk right out and heal yourself.
Right,
I'm not that kind of person. I think it's possible, but that's not what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that if you can really keep a positive mental attitude and really do a few small key things, you can really contribute to your own recovery.
And I agree with that, because I kept a positive mental attitude throughout most of my treatment and survivorship. But I have to find, I say, it seems like you're currently always in treatment. You're like the forever student, only the, unfortunately.
Yes. And I consider myself fairly intelligent, too, so you'd think I'd be able to learn it the first time.
I know. It's the house guest that you can't get rid of. Really? It's time to go to bed now? Yeah, we had a party guest like that. His name was Bob. He never got the point either, so. So your book. Let's talk about your book, and then I know you have a couple other projects in the works.
Sure. The book is called The Time's a Charm, Lessons of a 4-Time Cancer Survivor. So, obviously, I wrote this book back in 2008, and it's really a book. It's a no-nonsense book that's written for cancer patients, survivors, loved ones, family members. It's really about demystifying the cancer process, because a lot of information that folks get out there is just it's like what's off WebMD.
Right.
It's clinical, and it doesn't really help the emotional side.
And doctors really like that when you quote stuff off WebMD when you come in with a.
Yes. I think I have this. They love that. And I need this prescription. Yes, but my book is really made to fill the gap that says, here's, you know, when they say XYZ, here's what they really mean. That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal. That might be a big deal, you know, and just really try to give people the honest truth. And then woven with that is a catchy sense of humor, I guess. People seem to gravitate towards it. And also, what is the additional theme in the book is learning to grow your own positive mental attitude.
Right.
So that's where the roots of this, the new project that I'm working on started, was in that book that gosh darn it, you know, when I go into chemo feeling like I'm going to get really sick, I'm just really sick. Huh. It's called anticipatory nausea. I'm not even there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick. So maybe my mind does have an effect on how I do. So really teaching folks and teaching folks how to help themselves, I guess. And for this, the patient, caregiver, or just anybody who doesn't, who's never had cancer or touched by cancer yet, really just an outline for understanding what cancer patients go through. And because a lot of people don't talk about their emotions when they're going through cancer, and they have some very weird actions and people don't understand them.
Oh, yes.
And, I try to open the door a little bit to say this might be what's going on with them.
And I remember when I had first read your book, I guess it was back in 2008 or even 2009, I remember thinking, man, I wish you had written this book when I was going through treatment, or at least I had it in my hand, because your sense of humor and my sense of humor are pretty much the same.
And yeah. Yeah, I mostly poke fun of myself. If you can't poke fun of yourself, then my goodness.
Exactly. And I think, doctors have a hard time dealing with people who are a little too serious. Like, sometimes they're happy kind of like to see me or probably someone like you because, one, we ask questions, and two, we're not going to be like, oh, it's chemo, oh, woe is me. I mean, I would always try to make my doctors laugh, for example.
But don't you find sometimes that some of them they're not put off, but they're like in shock, like, do you understand what I just said to you?
Oh, my God. My primary care physician, it took me like a year and a half to make her laugh, seriously. She would just look at me and roll her eyes. But I love her. Oh. God love her. She's great.
Right. Right.
I can't really tell what joke I said. She's like, only you would think of that. I said, no, only I would say that. Everyone else would think of that. But
that's a great point.
But it is about positive mental attitude. And when I was first diagnosed, I never thought, oh, my God. Well, I thought, oh, my God, I have cancer. But the second thought was, all right, well, what are we going to do about it? It wasn't like, oh, my God, I'm going to go crawl in a dark hole and, just imagine what you see on television, which isn't the case. You didn't lose your hair, right?
I did during a stem cell transplant.
Okay.
At the time, I don't lose it.
Right. So, it's not.
I don't want to.
There you go. I didn't want to either. I didn't believe them, but they were right, unfortunately. But it's not always like the TV shows where, the cancer is the disease of the week and suddenly everyone's all pale and sallow and they're laying in bed like waiting to die. I mean, that's, I would find a majority of the fellow cancer survivors that I know online would, if I said that's what cancer was like, they would probably slap me silly.
Yeah, they might call you out on that. At times it can be, but, even more than that, one step forward from there is really one of the points that I'm going to try to make sure I get across in my new project is that even if it was like that,
right,
you get a diagnosis of cancer today, your life didn't stop today.
Exactly.
It's not over. It is what it is. It's your life, and you can live it, or you can, like you said, cower away in fear. But either way, it's going to go where it's going to go. So why not choose the way that's more fun and make jokes and be happy and get out and get some exercise and
exactly
do all the things that you like to do and hopefully it works out for you. But if it doesn't, why would you want to go the other way and be all depressed and dark and gloomy? That's no way to go out.
That's no way to live, period, even if you don't have cancer.
Yep, agree.
Yeah, I know. I just love your book. It was one of my favorite. And I've read a lot.
Well, I think you'll see the messaging is carried forward from that book into my next project, which is called Congratulations, You Have Cancer.
And,
and it's very tongue-in-cheek, but obviously it's meant, it could be cancer, it could be any
right.
fatal disease or diagnosis, but it's really about stopping the wheel that you're on, your life, stopping that Ferris wheel and getting off for a minute and saying, hold on. I know, I've got this job, I've got the kids, I've got this, I have to do that, but what am I doing? What is my life? What do I like? How can I be happy? Because at the end of the day, happy people cure much easier.
Right.
It's a well-known fact. So my messaging in the book is going to help expand and grow and really teach the understanding of positive mental attitude. It's one thing to tell people that they should be positive, and it's an entirely different thing to teach them how to do it.
Right, so, because I know that it is hard for some people when they are diagnosed with cancer. I mean, we all have our bad days, good and bad days. I mean,
without a doubt.
Doug, I'm sure Doug can tell you all about it, and Amy could tell me all about it, about, you know, there are just some days where you're just like, wow, this really sucks, and I don't know what to do, and I don't want to talk to anybody. But I would say, for me at least, 95% of the time, it wasn't like that at all.
Right. You know? I'm with you on the same percentages, and I've had lots of conversations with her, and it's all about communication with your caregiver, and I would tell her, when I say that, when I'm having a bad day, I'll let you know. And
right.
The proper response, you don't even have to think about it. The proper response is, I'm sorry, that must suck for you. And that's it. That's because that's all that I really want to hear.
Right.
Somebody heard me, damn it. This sucks. But nothing can be done. So
exactly.
Get on with it and get back to your positive attitude as soon as you can.
And I found also that you're always surprised about who will stand by you and who will just kind of be, you know, cancer really scares the crap out of people. So some of my friends just kind of backed away and just didn't talk to me for a while. And, you know, I don't harbor any ill will towards them because I don't know what their experience was with cancer. You know, but
right.
I'm always surprised at, like, the people who will step up and be like, hey, so what can I do for you? And even just if I come in having a bad day and someone doesn't mention cancer, I mean, I think that's one of the main things. Especially if you're at a workplace or you see your friends, people are always going to think that you're going to want to bring that up, or you're going to compare, like, your cancer to their, like, car breaking down or something.
Right.
I mean,
the more you just laugh about it. I just had it's the exact same topic. I wrote an article once for Spry Magazine, the 5 things not to say to a cancer patient. And I just had a new one when I was in the hospital not too long ago. A nurse basically, she was taking my blood pressure, or I don't remember what she was doing. But I don't remember her exact words, but her point was, yes, but you're dying. I mean, going over, because I'm a 5-time cancer survivor, I have cancer in my lungs, and her whole reaction on her face and her whole demeanor was, none of this really matters. And I looked at it, I recognized it, and to me, it's water off a duck's back, as they say. It doesn't matter, but it's that fear of death that people have. She obviously has it, and I don't blame her for what she does for a living. It could be easy to get
well,
that.
Well, we're all dying, I mean,
yes,
you know,
but,
every day.
But that's easy to say.
Well,
but
I mean, not
in your life.
Not cancer, but I mean, nobody here gets out alive is what I mean.
Oh, I know. And
so,
John Lennon, I know.
But if
you ask the average person walking down the street, or someone who got cancer, or someone who just had a heart attack, yes, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow. Yes, but you don't mostly believe that. You're just saying those words, and you don't live your life like today is your last day.
Right.
And that's what this project is all about, is teaching people how to find those little pockets of life that they've been ignoring, you know, the drive home or in between CAT scans that week that they're waiting for the results, all those little pockets of life that they ignore and let cancer get them down. We're going to haul those things out in the sunlight and see that they're not that bad after all.
Yeah, I have a perfect example of that. I blogged about this. This was a while ago on my Blogspot. I had to have a stress test for my heart because one of the chemo drugs causes heart problems. And I was also adopted, so I found out that my biological mother had 3 heart attacks by the time she was 52.
Wow.
So they make you, like, not eat for, like, God knows amount of time. And I like to eat breakfast and whatnot. And it was early in the morning, earlier than I usually get up. And someone parked in my car in my parking spot, so I didn't park in the same spot. So I wasn't paying attention. And I took out part of my bumper and part of the carport. But you know what? It made me laugh because I'm like,
okay,
I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I know. It's like, great. But it's like, okay, well, yeah, that's $200 that I would rather have not spent. But in the grand scheme of things, so
yeah,
what?
Or at least the heart monitors aren't hooked up right now. Nobody's recording this.
Exactly. I didn't think about that. But I was, you know, and I called Doug and I'm just like, I just took out the bumper. But it was just like, oh, well, you know what? I'm still here.
Yep.
I can still laugh about it.
Yeah, I use a lot of, I've done a lot of research and studying and self-improvement, and, you know, Anthony Robbins to me is somebody who has a lot, he's a very smart person, he understands the human intellect.
Right.
And it's about making jokes and being able to move away from stuff that could be stressful. You could have let that bother you all day.
Yes.
But you didn't.
No.
That's the difference.
I'm sure I was a little too worried about the stress test, although more worried about how long I was going to be able to run on the damn treadmill than anything
and
else.
How did you do, if I might ask?
Oh, I passed with flying colors.
Oh, perfect.
I don't, it's, one last ologist I have to see is the cardiologist, so.
Okay.
That's always, it's always good when there's one less, when they say, well, I'll see you when, you know, never, or, you know,
yes.
6 months is always the best, as you know. You know.
Absolutely, especially surgeons.
Yes.
They just kind of walk out. They're gone. You just go back to your oncologist and keep on moving.
Although I like to harass my surgeon because he's an Ohio State fan and I'm a Michigan fan.
Oh.
So any chance I get to lay the old maize and blue on him, I will.
Okay. Nice.
Are you a Sparty fan?
You know what? I have been a lifetime Michigan fan, and a year ago, I quit.
Oh.
It was a very emotional day. I was just tired of the ups and downs and in their athletic program, so I bailed. And my wife is a big Spartan fan.
Oh.
Whole family is. A member of the family played for the Spartans, so it was very easy to fit in. They welcomed me with open arms.
Well, that's good. That doesn't usually happen.
No, it doesn't. You usually have to sit on the porch or at the kids' table.
See, and that's the other good thing is, like, sports was something that I was able to, you know, bring a scary moment about meeting a surgeon and saying, having the first surgery that I'll ever have in my life, and, you know, talk about sports and kind of kid him about, you know, Ohio State, and Michigan was really bad that year. So, like you said, positive mental attitude. I looked up my doctors online and I kind of saw, you know, if there was something that I could talk to them about, even if it was not cancer related. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, absolutely. You got it. They're human.
Exactly.
Absolutely. My first, just had a surgery not long ago, and I had a lung biopsy, and the gentleman who did it was very highly recommended thoracic surgeon. I had no issues with him. He's one of those people, when you walk up, you're like, okay, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
I get it. That's why everyone likes him. But the day I came in for surgery, I was already looped up on the medication. I took my shirt off, showed him. He says, Mark, on the right side. He goes, I was just coming to mark you. Just, you know, don't want to take any chances if you got the wrong side.
Yeah.
So, but he was good with it, laughing, and that's the kind of sense of humor you need through cancer all the way through. It's, you just got to keep it going, and people, it's not inherent. We're not born with it.
Right.
I think you need to learn it, and I think folks like yourself and hopefully my new project will be able to teach people how to do this themselves.
Right, and I find that, you know, if you're going to do, like, a group therapy thing and the people around you aren't helping you, then find another group, you know, whether it be online.
Yeah.
Because I've tried group therapy, and you know what, I'll go in there with a great attitude and want to talk about some things, and everyone else is woe is me, and it's like, okay, well,
right.
I understand that not everyone has, you know, I don't want to say the good cancer experience, but a positive mental attitude, but, you know, not everything is woe is me either.
Right, and there is quite a online cancer community that we've built, and that we're not that we built, we've helped build it, and others as well. You know, Stacy over at Fight Pink, and well, many, just too many to mention, but lots of support out there that, you know, I know I get tons of emails, and I'm sure you get them from folks who are confused, scared. They want to know what your opinion is, what your thought is. And there's a lot of information out there and a lot of people that are just like you that are willing to reach out and help you if you can't find that.
Exactly. And I always tell people, it's like, I'm not a doctor. This is what worked for me, but it might not work for the next person. But,
right.
You know, I even have some people who are in the cancer community who wanted my advice, you know, because their friend is going through something and they want my advice too. And, you know.
Yes. And everybody. And I've had it, like I said, I've had cancer for 5 years. I'm sorry, 5 times for 10 years. One of my really good friend's father was just diagnosed maybe 3 months ago. And he's just gone through radiation and started his chemo. You know, he's still all that of a newbie.
Right.
And yesterday gave me some advice that I'll never forget. And, you know, I was feeling better. I'd like to go for a walk. He's like, get out there while you can, while you feel good. I was like, damn it, Roger's right.
Exactly.
Get off this couch and get out there and go for a walk.
Exactly.
So he's already catching on.
Yeah, because, I mean, like you said, yeah, you never know if you're going to get hit by a bus, but,
right.
You know, that's the likelihood of that happening is a little slim. And the other thing you don't want to say to a cancer patient, oh, you got breast cancer or whatever cancer you have. Well, that's the good cancer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're lucky to have that one.
Oh, you're lucky to have that one. Oh.
Yep. Yep.
Thanks.
Heard that one many times. If you're going to get one, that's the one to get, I heard. Nope. Right.
No. Because, you know, I think you should counter with something. It's like, you know, my friend Mel said breast cancer is the one to get.
Yeah, she really preferred that. So I don't know. I'd have to find somebody who's had both. Really, to be fair to that person.
That's true. That's very true. What other things shouldn't you say to a cancer survivor that you found that are pretty hilarious?
Oh, people. I mean, literally, I had to go back to the editor and prove that people actually said some of this stuff.
Really?
It's like, people do not say that. I'm like, yeah, they do. I pulled all of my, you know, all of my readers. These are actual fake statements from their doctors, nurses, whatever. You know, like one of the popular questions, oh, you have cancer? Are you going to die of that? I mean, just...
Right.
Really? That's what came out of your mouth, huh? So it was an interesting article to write.
Wow, yeah. And where can we find that on?
It was back in October, so it was back with the Breast Cancer Month, spry.com, Spry Magazine, S-P-R-Y Magazine. And if you use their search feature, they have a really good search feature, so if you put my name in, they should be able to come up with it there somewhere.
Nice. I even had relatives who didn't want to, like, vent to me. They're like, well, it's not this.
Really?
It's not what you have. I'm like, okay, seriously, I want to hear about the dog taking a crap on the floor. Because
right,
I don't
it has absolutely nothing to do with whatever the disease is. The disease is irrelevant.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's the fear of death that you're having.
Right.
You're trying to learn how to cope with the fear of death. I can help you with that.
And I don't compare because, you know, let's face it, I mean, you would win over me. I mean, if we're really going to have a contest, but I mean, the hell kind of contest is that, you know?
I don't know if Vegas is going
yeah.
to match odds on this one. I think I'd be the favorite, though.
I think you would.
Okay, good.
Odds on favorite for you. Maybe you have to take a trip to Vegas with Amy.
Maybe. Yeah, why not?
Although with the smoky casinos, then, yeah.
Oh, I can't stand it.
Yeah. So when do you plan on having your next project start?
The project has really started. Right now I'm putting together a television proposal. And I have some folks who have read the book and enjoyed it and asked me how I would envision it. One, helping folks, and two, as it fits into television. So I really think it's fitting into television nicely now because I'm seeing this tiny little momentum starting in TV.
Right.
It's getting away from reality TV, and it's starting to get like shows like Dr. Phil and The Doctors,
mm-hmm.
and last night Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution premiered. There's little tiny pockets where people are starting to take their health more seriously, and that's just a factor of the baby boomers getting older.
Right.
So they will do anything to stay alive as long as they can, as most people will do. It's the fear of death. So that's why I think that it's fit for television right now. And so once I write the proposal, which shouldn't take me all that much longer, you know, I'd like to follow it up with a book and really get out there, maybe do some touring, some autographing, and really talk to folks
so
that
this
I don't get to speak to face-to-face rather than through the Internet.
So this would be more of a documentary than like a movie of the week, per se?
This is going to be, if I have my say, I like the concept. It's a documentary and a movie of the week at the same time.
Okay.
It's interwoven, and the documentary part is really about the project, and it's me explaining and teaching. Again, mm-hmm. it's a teaching methodology that I'm trying to help people actually learn this and use it in their life. The documentary is woven through with my story, to help give, obviously, me the credibility that says, I really am somebody that knows about dying. You can trust me. So I think the combination of the two makes it an interesting watch.
So then who would play you? That's
oh, boy. Well, part of it would be me.
Well, yes.
Yes, and I don't know. Bruce, who we got? Who's laying around? Needs work. Yeah. I don't know. Guy laying around wrote a book. book had cancer five times, I don't see him putting, you know, $100 million, $300 million towards this one. But we'll get it on and get it out there and really help people get going, and then the book will follow right immediately afterwards. And I think folks are going to be receptive to it. It blends nicely with a lot of what's really going on now, as people are starting to understand, holy crap, I thought life was all about building wealth and buying toys. Right. Now I don't have any toys left. I'm broke, and I'm miserable.
Exactly.
And now I'm sick. Guess what? You didn't quite get it right. It's about being happy, and I'm going to teach you.
Exactly. That's perfect. I know.
Yes. Looking forward to it. If I could just get healthy enough to get it all done in a week, that'd be awesome.
Now, friends of yours online have seen Paco. Tell me about Paco.
Paco, I get chemo now 3 weeks a month, and one of the weeks is a continuous infusion. So there's a bag of saline with chemo agent and a little pump that keeps it running at a slow rate all day long, every day, 24 hours a day for 5 days in a row. And that goes in this little oversized knapsack that I was affectionately referring to as a European handbag.
Yes, the man
and
purse.
And eventually evolved to naming him Paco. So he goes with me. He just left last Friday, so I've got a few weeks before he comes back, which is it's good because it's a mental thing, but walking around for a week tethered to something continuously is really annoying. It really is, and if you can't have fun with it, you know, and he slept in between Amy and I, in between our heads, so he's right there, right by our pillows, and it's like, morning, Paco, go get some coffee.
Do they give you the man bag that it goes in?
Yes.
Oh.
That is not my own. I do not own that.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if you bought it for Paco.
No, it actually comes with that. It's all one complete unit.
Because I was going to say, if you could get one of those, you know how those kids have those teddy bear backpacks or purses?
Yes.
That would be kind of funny, don't you think?
Lightly off my image. Just a little. Yeah.
Well, you could find something that would fit your image, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, Paco's just an ordinary, everyday kind of guy trying to help out. And that's the story behind him.
Well, I hope you don't have to have Paco around much longer.
Yeah, I don't know. As much as I have to.
Right.
But he knows I'd rather have him somewhere else.
Right. And it is what it is, like you always say.
Yes, always. It doesn't matter. When am I going to be done with chemo? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been 10 years. If I guess every time somebody asks me, I could be a weatherman with as bad as I would be, as wrong as I am all the time.
Exactly.
So, don't bother. It's going to be sunny and beautiful.
But you have the best kind, so that's the best kind to get.
Precisely, yes.
Because you...
Everybody run out and get Hodgkin's. Good times.
I don't know. I would say breast cancer. We'd have to have this debate on another show.
Out in Vegas.
We'd have to find a casino that would take our odds, though.
Yes.
And then, you know, the colon cancer people will come in and say theirs is the best, too, or whatever.
Right. Yeah, maybe we just better avoid the topic entirely.
So if people want to get a hold of you, Donald, where can they find you?
If they want to just get a hold of me in specific, they could just, I hate to say this, it sounds arrogant, I don't mean to be arrogant, but you could Google me, and I've got stuff all over the web, Donald Wilhelm, Facebook, Twitter, all kinds of stuff. If you're interested in my blog that I keep or a copy of the Times of Charm, just go to www.thistimesofcharm.com, and it's got all kinds of information in there. There's helpful tidbits of medical information. There's all kinds of blogs that are positive, that speak to the message that I'm trying to get across. And there's a link in there. It'll take you right to Amazon if you're interested in the book.
Well, I think everyone should be interested in the book. Like I said, I wish I'd read it during my treatment because it was very funny and very informative.
Thank you. And I wrote it from a conversational tone.
Right.
So, and that was all intentional, that it'd be very easy to read, that it'd be funny, and that it'd be uplifting, because the last thing that a cancer patient wants to read is something that reads like a medical, you know,
exactly.
Story. This book is simple to read. You will be laughing.
You will be, for sure.
You will. You'll have a good time with it, and you'll read it in like 2 days and be upset that you're done.
I you're right. You're exactly right.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to read it again.
I'm reading it again right now myself, to be honest with you. I haven't read it in like a year, and I started reading it. I was like, that's funny.
That's funny. That happened to me. What?
Yeah.
I know. I find the same thing when I check out my blog. I'm like, what? I didn't go through all that. Are you kidding? And there are some things, like I said, we have the same sense of humor that I just can't put in print for just because it's
oh, I don't have any problems. Let it all hang out.
I'll tell you that after the show. I'll email anybody those kind of funny moments that, you know, you just think about and go, really? This? I mean, they're very funny, but they're very colorful, I should say, as well.
Sure.
Not necessarily for a PG audience, so I guess I'll just leave it at that.
We'll catch up when I'm in town then.
Excellent. Well, let's wrap up like I usually do. You can always find me on Facebook because I am an addict, Mel Majoros, or you can join the Cancer Warrior on Empower Radio fan page on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, at Mel Majoros. My blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on empowerradio.com.